There's a new culture in the world we live in, a world which no longer has any frontiers and depends to a great extent on the influence of the media. An all-new complex situation which originates not just from whatever content is eventually expressed, but from the very fact that there exist new ways of communicating, the most startling of which is no doubt the internet. Those are just a few lines I extrapolated at random from a document published by the Pontifical Council for Culture on the eve of the third millennium, at the time of the pontificate of the late John Paul II. A document by the telling title of Towards a Pastoral Approach to Culture, which enhances the urgency of the mammoth task of the Catholic Church in the fulfilment of its mission in proclaiming the gospel in the contemporary world. And one from which I'd like to highlight the first lines. Quote, from the time the gospel was first preached, the church has known the process of encounter and engagement with cultures. For it is one of the properties of the human person to be able to achieve true and full humanity only by means of culture. Unquote. One of the people to have participated in the working of this document was Monsignor Peter Fleetwood. He told me how the late Pope had requested this document, insisting perhaps on this theme, partly because of his all-time fascination with the relation between the dominant cultures of the world and the faith of the people who live within and are nurtured in those cultures. My first question to Monsignor Peter was how to get the Christian message inherent in this document across. Who to ask?
Now, I think maybe the best people to ask about the difficulty of the accessibility of the Christian message to culture are mothers and fathers who have children that they try to bring up in Christian terms, Christian morality, Christian doctrine, a Christian view of love and life and death and the afterlife. And they're the best people to tell you exactly what the difference between Christianity and the dominant culture is, because the young people of any age absorb the culture much more quickly and much more thoroughly than the old people who have a certain resistance to change. And so I think anyone who has brought children up will know the distance there is. And pastors try to be compassionate and aware of this universal difficulty. The accessibility of the Christian faith to its surrounding cultures is a real fundamental duty. Jesus himself didn't expect everyone to tune into his way of thinking. It was rather the other way around. He was ingenious at picking up on people's hopes and fears. And that was the very title of the major document in the Second Vatican Council that prompted all this excursion into the modern and the postmodern world. Gaudium et Spes, the hopes and the joys, the sorrows and the anguish of people today are the things that the church is equally involved in and wants to be involved in, because the message is for humanity. And if we can't speak to humanity in the way humanity thinks and acts, we're wasting our time and losing a valuable treasure forever.
Wasting our time and losing a valuable treasure forever. Brief brushstroke in words, Monsignor Peter painted a picture of the passing of time for me, reminding me instantly of the insistence in this document of the word new, new cultural situations, new areas of evangelization, meaning contemporary forms of understanding and sensitivity.
I think the word new is spoken by people who treasure the past, but wonder how perennial or lasting or everlasting values can be put into new situations and made to mean something. How we can communicate between old and new, between eternal and temporal. The whole exercise is one of communication between, almost between different worlds, certainly between different worldviews. And new to many is automatically good. New to others is suspect. and a little bit frightening. Whatever that case may be in the, for particular individuals, I think it really is a question of communicating what you view as precious in a different situation from the one either you were brought up in or it was first preached in, if you like.
Different people with different ways of evaluating situations. That's all very well, I thought. So I asked, in your view, Monsignor Peter, I mean for you as a pastor, are there more challenges or more opportunities in today's checkered world?
It depends what side of the bed I get up out of. It's like having a half full or a half empty glass. Very much it depends on the energy with which one approaches the question of the gospel. I think people who have genuine faith always see the obscure side, but there is an underlying joy which makes them want to say, this is worth listening to, this is good news, it really is. So there is a challenge in communicating what you have deep in your heart, even to your best friend. But it also can seem very difficult one day and yet incredibly hopeful another. I think it depends entirely on the circumstances and the energy of the person trying to communicate.
An honest answer, one that prompted a far bolder question regarding the more negatively worded passages in the document relating to our contemporary world, such as, quote, atheism, blatant religious indifference, all-embracing hedonistic materialism are marginalising the faith. Unquote. Not mincing their words here, I said to Monsignor Peter.
Yes, my own opinion is that it's not always helpful to talk about lots of isms. It seems sometimes as though the people representing the gospel and the church to the modern world are a bit like the King Canute in ancient British history, who thought he could stop the tide coming in and eventually was soaked. I don't think it's wise to approach life in that way. However, many of the terms in this document have come from bishops around the world, and those phrases do come up with astonishing regularity in reports from different countries, different bishops' conferences. And I think they're a shorthand for a whole set of phenomena where the gospel isn't obviously welcome anymore. We are not immune to our culture. We live in an atmosphere which finds it very, very hard to take all this Christianity stuff completely seriously.
I noticed the document had plenty of guidelines to offer on a practical level, sort of like a response to particular needs, perhaps.
It's meant to be a pastoral document. It's meant to respond to pastoral needs. So the second section identifies the different fields of culture, which is a help to some people in some countries where the word culture is used in a very different way from the way it's used in other countries. So the fields of action or possible action and the fields of challenges are identified in section two. Section three is a response to that. How do we cope with all these challenges? What is the best way to get into the swim and do something about it?
There's some pretty surprising areas, aren't there? Religious tourism and, internet, for example.
Internet is probably the biggest new influence on every culture in the world, although you have to remember that more than 50% of people in the world have no access to telephones, so we'll never see an email message or surf the net. But as regards the bulk of humanity and being influenced, internet is one of the major influences these days. It has tremendously good potential, but already has demonstrated that it can be pretty evil. It's not evil in itself, it depends on how it's used. So here is a challenge. What do we do to make the most of it? The church should be right there as part of the phenomenon, really, using this brand new way of communicating to get its own message across and to be present in a different way.
Religious tourism.
Religious tourism is a great preoccupation in certain countries which have a great heritage architecturally or in terms of their native religion. very often Christian archaeology gives rise to the possibility of marvelous trips, but many governments in the international organizations are now realizing that religion is a good thing in terms also of bringing them business, bringing visitors. So to make the most of this and not to allow it to be purely good fun, but to learn something, to appreciate the origin of the artifacts and the buildings and the traditions, there's another challenge, there's another way the church can make use of something that's happening around it and not let it another opportunity pass it by.
There could be all kind of responses to culture in today's world. So I asked Monsignor Peter, what's special about this particular document?
I think what you have here is a genuine attempt to say, let's do the best we can, and let's do it in an organised way, and let's do it together with some kind of shared idea behind the whole thing.